Amen. Nobody loves you like the Lord. I'm so glad that he loves us. Aren't you? Someone said, I don't know why he loves us so, but I am so glad that he did. Thank you.
I like your shirt.
Oh, thank you, sir. Well, I've been getting compliments all morning. I take no credit for it. This is the craftsmanship of local merchants in Rwanda for my trip there. You'll hear a little bit more about that as we tie in today's message for today. So again, we're grateful to God for another occasion to be back in the house. Back in the house of prayer on this seventh day after the Epiphany of Christ. And there are two passages, and I did not alert Tom, so Tom, don't feel anything about anything, because it's all on me. I should have remembered that I wanted to read the second passage in addition to the gospel lesson for this morning. So, for those of you who have your Bibles with you, how many of you brought Bibles to church? Amen. We should make that a growing habit, even though we have the technology. Sometimes we get so dependent on the technology that when it fails, we're kind of lost. Amen. Well, just hope that doesn't happen. But in any case, sometimes it's just helpful to have your own personal copy of the scriptures in your hand. We want to read again from the lectionary's selection this morning from a gospel lesson from the book of Luke. But before we do that, I would just have you to listen also to the psalm that is also selected for this, the seventh day after Epiphany. It is one that is familiar to most of you who love the psalms. And this is from Psalms 37, 1 through 11, and 39 through 40. You may want to just make a note and reread it at some point later. Psalms 37. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that you will live in the land and enjoy security. Delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from evil, from anger, that is, and forsake wrath. Do not fret, for it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet in a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them diligently in their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the earth and delight themselves in the abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked, and he saves them because they take refuge in him. And now from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 27 through the end, 27 to 39. And you must again read before what happens in this pericope and what happens following. So again, it is in the context of Jesus going about his way after having came on the scene, having been baptized, anointed to preach, presented to the people, was healing, had called his disciples, and was going about this way, healing and preaching and calling out demons and setting people free. It's in this context that he looks up at the people who have been perhaps oppressed by their oppressors in the Roman system, and he says these words to them. But to you who are listening, and I thought about that for a minute too. Is it possible that Jesus could speak and no one listens? For those who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who misuse you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those if you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated in his presence. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. So, Father, we are blessed once again to be here. And we know that we are here and that you are here in our midst by the power of your Spirit. And so just for a few moments, Father, we pray that our hearts and minds will be open to hear, to see, to experience this word that is sharper than a two-edged sword, this word that is able to build us up in our faith, this word, O God, that will build the foundations for us to live lives that are pleasing to you. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you will do as we anticipate your Spirit leading and guiding us into the next chapter of this adventure as we travel along the journey toward our eternal home. And so we pray, O God, bless us in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just say a word of introductory thanks to those of you who have been praying for me. Some of you know that I've been experiencing some really strange health issues that the doctors have not quite put a finger on, and that's why I'm sitting on this chair now rather than standing for the whole service and other stuff that's going on. But the latest is that I was in the hospital again this week, you know, in the emergency room again this week, after having come from a trip that was designed to be a time of respite and rejuvenation, which it was in abundance, but came back and again this mysterious coming and going of whatever this is happened again. And so today I'm also wearing a heart monitor that was given to me to kind of manage looking at what's going on with the rhythm, perhaps that of my heartbeat and that kind of stuff, to see if anything really strange is going on with that. So I pray your continued prayers for the doctors to have clarity, because it is a kind of, I don't know, how do you say it? It's difficult when you don't know exactly what's going on, right? Everybody been there? It's like they tell you everything it is, but what it's not, right? So in any case, thank you for your prayers, and we will continue to trust that God will reveal soon what's going on, and perhaps will grant healing as well. So, wanted to just share this morning. We're going to have a different kind of a message this morning. It's even in light of my interruption with the medical stuff this week. I wanted to try to talk about how it is that we take these texts that we find from time to time, and how do we really say that the lectionary is leading us to focus our attention on various topics and themes that come out of Scripture. And today is an important time, because also this month, even it's Epiphany, and we've been celebrating that along this course as we prepare ourselves to go into the season of Lent. But February in the United States of America has also been designated as Black History Month. And in fact, Carter G. Woodson, who is called the father of African-American history, started this celebration to call attention to the fact that African-Americans who have sojourned in the many hundreds of years in the United States of America had made contributions not only to the U.S. but into the entire world. And that history and our involvement has often been overlooked by the majority culture. And since we are an institution that commits itself to being anti-racist, to be an inclusive community, a community of reconciling, a reconciling community, it behooves us, as brothers and sisters from various ethnic backgrounds, black, white, brown, Chinese, Asian, whatever it might be that the God has compiled as African, to be aware of histories, of the struggles of histories of people and their stories, and how that ties into the broader story of God's redemptive history. Amen? And so I'm so happy that Oakdale is one of those congregations that's open for that, and so we want to make certain that we do our part to help educate one another, to help hear each other's stories, and to live into a new story together as God continues to transform the dangling discords of disharmony in our world. Never such a time as this has it ever been as necessary as it were, as it is right now. So part of that, I wanted to give a shout out to my sister, Victoria Gibbs. Wave your hand, Victoria, who has taken on the task of at least bringing to our attention printed materials and video materials that will help us to explore the various areas of contributions for African Americans and to not only to the U.S. but to the world. And so there's a book display that is out there that's been printed in the bulletin. Those books are there for you to browse, to take down titles, things that pop out to your interest. We encourage you to pick those up, check them out at the library, go online, whatever you might do to research and to read and to learn more about that. So we're happy to be able to do that. And each year we hope to build on that in some more significant ways, also that include us learning about the various cultures and the journeys of people who are part of our fellowship. And so that leads me to the introduction for the message today. Some of you know that last week Emily and I had the privilege, but I'll just say that every year, at least two times a year, I try to focus my attention in terms of reading and rehashing, thinking and being inspired by the past events of the struggles of African Americans in America. And so part of that for me is always going back, reading the works of activists and people and prophets like Dr. King and others. So we had an opportunity to go to Atlanta, Georgia for a few days last week, and have for the first time we had not been to the founding, the stomping grounds, the ground that bred this great, powerful man of God who led the most powerful, transforming human revolution in the 20th century. And so we got a chance to really see firsthand and experience the ethos of this place that shaped him from a child through his adulthood and through his education. And so we visited in Atlanta the place of his birth. We visited the Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolence. We went through the museum that has most of them, probably the highest collection of memorabilia concerning his life and his work and his ministry. I got a chance to sit down in the Ebenezer Baptist Church where Dr. King was co-pastor with his father, and to listen and to absorb the kind of spirit that was there still present today as his speeches were being broadcast and Mahalia Jackson singing in the background and visual images of what happened from the essence of the genesis of that movement to the end of the movement and his assassination. And so every year it kind of is my goal to kind of refresh myself. But this was special for us. And we want to thank the congregation and for those who made it possible for Emily and I to go down on that trip. And so I thought today that as I began to reflect last week and the week before on this text that the lectionary has us focused on in Luke's gospel, where Jesus begins this powerful, powerful teaching about loving your enemies and doing good to those who despitefully misuse you. Most of you know the history of the civil rights movement and the awful tragedies that happened over and over again, the loss of life and property, the fact that the demeaning atmosphere of Jim Crow, and I grew up in that era, so I'm not just talking about something I read about. But I'm saying that what is important today is for more than anything else, in this time of great polarization in our nation, where there is a resurgence of white supremacy and hatred and xenophobia and all kinds of very significant, powerful forces of evil, I think, that seek to divide and destroy the unity, and particularly have that impacts to church. And so I think that it behooves us to this morning to again to re-examine some of that has happened, to be inspired by what we are going to hear in just a few minutes and a couple of video vignettes, and then a challenge to the congregation, to ourselves, to be recommitted to this process of nonviolent direct action to work for justice, to speak for the those who are voiceless, to stand in the places where Jesus would stand, to fight again against the injustices of the world, but to do that through the power of love. Amen? So, if you will indulge me for just a few moments, it's going to take about 18 minutes for these two clips, and I'll have some concluding remarks and some challenges after that. So please, Tom, if you would now bless us with the presentation. The first one is of Dr. King, and it is a sermon that he preached in 1957 called The Root of Love, Being the Power of Redemption. And the second one is of a young lady whose name is Immaculée Isibangaza from Rwanda, and she is a survivor of what happened 25 years ago in Rwanda with that genocide that happened. And it will be very plain to you when you hear her testimony as well. And so, without further ado.
Wait, don't harm 2 weeks later, some 25,000 protesters, led by Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders, made the 47-mile trek from Selma to Montgomery. Within 2 months, President Lyndon B. Johnson had signed the Voting Rights Act into law, but hatred was still alive. On April 4, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was shot and killed at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee.
I can't stand to talk about it.
15 women hiding in this tiny map, death lurking just outside.
One time I stood up, I looked through this window of peace, a window into my room, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I saw the killer. They were coming to search. It was about maybe 200 or 400, and we went through the window like, wow, wow, going, going. Those have come to really realize that, you know what, let's make a step to understand the other person. But when people give, you can be objective and really see that the person who brought you doesn't mean that they are all tribe and like that, or they are all people from their country or their race.
Right.
And that way I found that I was able to make with that conquer.
Thank you, Tom. So now, as some of you may know of our recent trip, that with the reason that these are so powerful for me is that it brings together both the experiences, both in this sort of historic way of 50 years, the 50 years of the civil rights movement since the genesis of that, and also 25 years in between that, this horrific, never to experience in the world, the kind of genocide that took place. And a million people died in the space of 3 months. And so because God is who he is, God has brought those two communities together in a very significant way. And as much as we have a growing number of brothers and sisters from Rwanda and the Congo who are now part of this ministry. And in fact, I want you to continue to pray. Pastor Claude is now, probably has landed already in Rwanda. He had to go there on some personal business. But beginning to bring these ties together and to stand together in a way to build solidarity and unity and a powerful witness in a time of unprecedented hate and polarization in our country, in our world. And I think that the significance of that is that God is placed in our laps. And so I am just simply saying to you as members of this body of the Oakdale Park Christian Reformed Church, this is an opportunity for us to let love shine in a significant way, to continue to stand together in unity and in solidarity with those who have been injured and hurt in the past, to show love in the midst of hatred, to be this powerful growing army that will lift up the standards of what Jesus talks about in this passage from Luke. And so I wanted to say that as a way of applying that, we continue to have opportunities in our congregation to work together, to support one another, to continue to learn and grow and to work through these issues of injustice and racial strife that is so much a part of the history of this nation. If we continue to make ourselves available and open to learn and to grow through that so that we can be the people that God has called us to be in our times and places. And as you saw these two evidences of two different witnesses through these video clips, that it does make a difference. Love wins out in the end. And so I wanted to also to just conclude today's service in a way with some action steps, because Dr. King was big on action steps. It wasn't that you just simply looked at the injustices that were taking place, but there was a process by which you would address it in a nonviolent way. So one of that ways is also to continue to make sure that our children understand the challenges of the histories of this and to be a part of the solution of making the world a better place. In addition, on the book tables, you will find tons and tons of resources that you can continue to make a commitment to learn and grow, to educate yourselves. But for our children, there are these booklets that we have on the tables that I received that we went down to the King Center and brought. Some of you have been there and some of you have not, but this is one of the tools that they use to continue to grow this dynamic of helping the next generation embrace the challenges of eradicating hatred and injustice in our world. And so for the children, I would like for the parents to make certain that your child picks up a copy of this. You work with them, particularly if they're able to read. I think from probably age 6 through 12 is probably the target for this particular periodical. But in it is a number of activities that they can do that will help them learn and to grow about that. But one piece that I wanted to lift up as an ongoing effort is that we want to have a little bit of, at the end of the, at the end of this publication, there is a challenge for all of the children to write about from their own perspective, based upon Dr. King's dreams of racial equality in our country. What would you do? Why would you like to see the world? What would need to happen? And what part could you play as a young person? So in this this last piece, it basically asks the children in the spaces provided below, develop your own I Have a Dream speech within your own language and describe what changes you would make in order to make the world a better place. And I would like it very, very much. I would be immensely proud to have our children engage this in a little bit of a speech contest. Those who are ages grades 6 through 12, 2 to 3 paragraphs would be sufficient, I think, to help them to describe, to articulate what it would look like from their perspective to make the world a better place and to continue to live into the dream that Dr. King had for eradicating hatred, for living into the fulfillment of the scriptures that Jesus talks about in the book of Luke, to love your enemies, to do good to those who mistreat you. And I think that that would be a positive way for us to advance the cause. And so, my sisters and brothers, that's what we have for today. That's the end of the message. And so, I would just like for us to have a word of prayer, and then you will receive the praise team to come back, and we will close the service out. Let us pray. I tell you what, why don't we stand on this prayer, and why don't we do the unifying of stretching across the aisles and connecting ourselves to one another. So catch someone by the hand, scoot over to the left, to the right, whatever it takes for you to touch the next person. And I'm going to touch somebody up here on the stage. Okay, good. So, Father, we come at a turbulent time in history. We come at a pivotal time in history. But most of all, we come at an opportune time. For you have called each of us. You have called Oakdale Park Christian Reformed Church. You have called the Christian Reformed Church of North America in a very significant way, God, into the kingdom for such a time as this. We pray that, God, by the power of your Spirit, you will begin to lift the veil that sometimes separates us from one another, keeps us from having the kind of unity that you declare is, in fact, the desire of yours for the church to be one body, that we look out for not only our own interests but the interests of all the others, and for those who are on the margins, those who are hurting, those who have been riddled by pain and suffering, God, that we reach out and we stand together, we provide for and share the goods that you have blessed us with. So those children, God, who are orphaned and for many years now in Rwanda, who've grown up without parents and grandparents and family members, for those who have made their own commitment, God, to continue the work of rebuilding that nation, for even here in our own nation, God, as we stand together in unity to stand against hatred and to stand against bigotry and injustice, to stand against xenophobia and all the kinds of evils, God, that seek to divide people and to destroy the spirit of humanity. We pray that you would help us as we stand together in unity, God, that you would bless us with foresight, insight, and courage to stand in our times, to be the people you called us to be. So we give you thanks and praise and glory and honor in the name of Jesus the Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, and our model. In Jesus' name, amen.